Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Now, no one makes it through life without experiencing trauma like death or disease. But according to my next guest, everyday emotions like loneliness and fear can be just as traumatic. But do we have the potential to benefit from trauma if we know the best way to deal with it? Perhaps. Here to talk about that is Dr. Mark Epstein. He's a psychiatrist and clinical assistant professor for the postdoctoral program at NYU, and he's got a new book called The Trauma of Everyday Life. Hi, Dr. Epstein. Welcome to WNYC.
Hey, thanks a lot.
And as I was saying in the intro, for you, this is not just about death or illness or excruciating pain, but more mundane things like breaking up with a boyfriend or girlfriend or almost missing an expensive flight. But that's different than what most people think when they hear the word trauma. Are these things really worthy of the label?
Well, that's a good question. Part of my thinking about trauma is that actually death and illness and separation and loss is something that everyone goes through. Even those kinds of traumas are not reserved just for people over there. But those smaller traumas that you're talking about, you know, breaking up with a boyfriend, missing a flight,
and I took those
losing your luggage
from
my
the
book. No, definitely. Those smaller traumas have echoes of the bigger traumas. When things don't go the way we expect them to go, that's a little illness. That's a little death. It scares us in the same way that those bigger traumas scare us. Some of us are more prepared to deal with that. Some of us are not.
You come at this from a Buddhist place. And is that your point, to get people to look at their own life traumas through a different set of eyes?
Well, I come at it from both a Buddhist place and a psychoanalytic place. I'm a psychiatrist. Most of what I do is see people in therapy. But I was influenced by Buddhism before I knew very much about any kind of Western therapy. So a lot of my work is always about trying to show how those two worlds really are not so different. So the idea from this book was to use both what I've learned from Buddhism about trauma, when the Buddha gave his first noble truth that life is suffering. The word he used was dukkha, which means hard to face. You know, life is hard to face. And that's the same definition that the Western psychiatrists use for trauma. When there's an experience of death or illness or difficulty that fills us with emotions that are hard to face, we tend to turn away, and that actually doesn't help us deal with it very much.
And listeners, if this is resonating with you and you have a question for Dr. Epstein, I guess by way of disclaimer, you know, we can't do real therapy on the air, but if you're relating to this concept and want to ask a question or say something, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Staying on the Buddhist side of it, the story of Patachra that you reference in the book reminded me a little bit of certain events that happened here in New York during Sandy.
Yeah.
In the Buddhist story, the young woman loses her husband, her parents, her brother, and both of her children in the space of a few hours, watching her newborn get plucked away by a hawk and the other small child swept away by a river. When Patachra lost everything close to her, and people around here lost family members and material things, how did she deal with it? And what's the concrete way people today can deal with immense trauma like that? I'm thinking of that one case. I think the woman was from Staten Island.
Yeah.
And her two children
were washed away
at one point and then washed away.
Yeah. Well, that's the amazing thing about that story, which is from 2,000 years ago, that you think it's a mythic story. And then here we are living in New York and it's happening to us. It can happen at any time. The Buddha talked about that. He said, accidents of nature, that's not your karma. It's not because of something bad that you did that this happened to you. He said those events are random. That part of our lives, we're subject to random events, accidents, earthquakes, tsunamis, floods, hurricanes, and so on. That woman that they tell the story about, she was traumatized. She was horrified. The people didn't know what to do with her. They brought her to the Buddha, and the Buddha's chief assistant took his cloak off, took his robe off, and wrapped it around her, and said, here, here is a person who can handle what you're feeling. And the Buddha taught her how to work with her own most difficult feelings. He said, my teachings are like this cloak that my friend has wrapped around your shoulders.
And so when you don't happen to have the Buddha in 2013 living next door to you?
We're stuck with psychotherapy.
Paul in Union, you're on WNYC with Mark Epstein. Hello.
Good morning. I just wanted to say that I've felt almost my entire life from the time I was a young kid that life is basically mostly suffering. I mean, I know it's been mostly suffering for me. And I feel if I could have my ultimate wish, I wish I had never been born. And I'd just like to know what Mr. Epstein has to say about that.
Wow.
Well, I'm very glad you were born because I get to talk to you on the radio, which is an amazing experience. The Buddha always talked about what a precious thing the human birth is. He talked in an evolutionary way about how hard it is actually to achieve a human body and a human mind, which is such a leap over all of the other animal forms. And he didn't actually say that life is only suffering. He said that life is filled with things that are hard to face, but that life is also filled with joy and bliss. And that when you learn how to face the difficulties, that actually allows this inborn ability to experience joy to rise within you. So I would urge you to stay in your body, stay in your mind, and hold out for the joy that's also there.
Anything else? Go ahead.
Could I say one more thing?
Of course.
I mean, this isn't a suicide call.
Good.
I guess... It's different for every person. Every person has to decide for themselves how they feel about life. And I'm just telling you from my perspective, there's been so much suffering, so much pain, so much loss, that if I could go back in time, I would make it so that my parents did not bring me into this world.
It's a heavy, heavy thing.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Can I say one more thing to you?
Of course, I want that.
Part of what I write about in the book is how extreme the emotions can be for very young children. How children before the age of three, before language kicks in, have no way of really processing what is going on inside of their minds and bodies. They need their parents to relate to what they're feeling, to pick it up, to hold it, and to interpret it for them. And if that doesn't happen well enough, if there's a kind of malattunement, then the child is left with a feeling of dread, of very intense anxiety that has to be worked through much later in life. And I think some of what you're talking about, I have no idea what your early life was like, et cetera, but some of what you're talking about has the feel of those very, very early anxieties that were never acknowledged, never dealt with, that the person was never really helped to process.
And, Paul, maybe that's a helpful insight. In your practice, because Paul's experience of life and the wish that he expressed is so extreme, how frequently do people present with that? Is he at the very, very, very unusual edge of wishing that he wishing that he was never born?
No, I don't really think so. I actually think that in people's private reflections, that those kinds of thoughts come up a lot. They're often associated with a big feeling of shame, so that those feelings are kept very close to the vest. And I commend him for like calling and voicing it over the radio. I hope that
that's incredible.
A helpful thing.
Yeah.
But one of the things I've learned from my Buddhist work is that it's not what's happening inside of you. It's not what you're experiencing that really matters. It's how you relate to it. And if you relate to it with shame and fear, it gets worse. If you relate to it with kindness and openness and acceptance, it tends to get better.
Let's get one more call in before we run out of time. And it's Jackie in the East Village. Hi, Jackie. Thank you for calling in.
Hi. I'm resonating so much with what you're discussing, partly because I'm aligned, if that's the word I could use, with the Buddhist community. And I've had this very extreme trauma, January 7, 2012. Both my mother and my cousin were killed very violently in a hot air balloon crash in New Zealand. Wow. The piece that's been coming up again and again and again about this is the karma piece. So it's such a relief to hear you addressing this because, and in the duplicitous nature of trauma. So I just wanted to have the bravery to be able to reach out and, you know, acknowledge it on the air. I know that we're running out of time, but it's been this extreme thing, and just to get some feedback on it.
Well, I think that's wonderful that that you're raising that. You know, people who are raised in the East or who in our country have been influenced by the philosophies of yoga and meditation often have this mistaken idea that when bad things happen to people, really it's because of their own bad karma. Must have been something they did either in this life or the past life to put them on that hot air balloon, to put them in the path of the hurricane. And so really they're just getting what they were due. And the Buddha gave, you know, a very clear teaching about that. It's been written down for 2,000 years where he very explicitly said that illnesses, accidents, even acts of terrorism, banditry, all of those things are random. There are laws operating in the world that are outside of our control. And that's one of the difficult things about being a human being is we're at the mercy of those things.
And I'm so sorry to leave this not any more resolved than that and say that we're out of time. But Jackie, thank you very much. Maybe there's something there that can alleviate some guilt if guilt is what you were getting at with karma. And I really appreciate you calling in.
Thank you.
And a little bit of insight into the thinking of New York psychoanalyst Dr. Mark Epstein, who is now the author of The Trauma of Everyday Life. Thank you so much. This has been really illuminating.
Thanks a lot, Brian.